Egypt has brokered a deal to free 1,000 Palestinian prisoners or so. We don't know the exact amount. In exchange for the release of one Israeli soldier, Staff Sergeant Gilad Shalit. Shalit's been captive for more than 5 years, and he's become a symbol in Israel, a powerful one. On the Palestinian side, Hamas spokesmen claim that among the Palestinian prisoners to be released is Marwan Barghouti. Barghouti is a Fatah leader, widely viewed as a potential successor to President Mahmoud Abbas, and that exchange could happen as early as November. Joining us now, Martin Indyk, the former U.S. ambassador to Israel and director of foreign policy at the Brookings Institution. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning.
Tell me about Gilad Shalit and why he's so important.
Well, the most important thing to understand about Gilad Shalit is that he's been in captivity in Gaza under the Israelis' noses for 5 years. And the deal is a very painful one for the Israelis, both in terms of releasing some 315 of the 1,027 prisoners are actually prisoners who are serving life sentences for mostly for terrorism involved in direct acts of killing Israeli civilians. And yet the desire to bring home a soldier overwhelmed the desire not to establish a principle that terrorism pays.
Well, let me ask you about what exactly this means diplomatically. Is this a sign of the chilling of relations between Israel and Hamas? Or is this perhaps an even better sign that Egypt is still a credible partner in negotiating a peace between the two?
I wouldn't imagine that Israel and Hamas are now going to come to terms on a peace deal. Far from it. In welcoming this deal, Khaled Mashal, the leader of external Hamas, claimed great victory and said, "We're going to cleanse the land and retake Jerusalem." So I don't think the lion's about to lay down with the lamb. But your point about Egypt is an important one. The Germans tried for years to mediate this unsuccessfully, the French also. In the end, it was the Egyptians who were able to take advantage of the pressure that Khaled Mashal, this external Hamas leader, was feeling because of the revolution that was taking place in Syria, where he has his headquarters, and his greater dependence on Egypt to fashion a deal that, in the end, the Israelis could make. So the Egyptians come out of this with glory. And I think that it does help to make up for the debacle over the Israeli embassy in Cairo a couple of weeks ago and enables the Egyptians to solidify their relations with Israel at a time when it looked like the Israel-Egypt peace treaty was under threat.
Martin Indyk, you make a great point. Ricochets throughout the Arab Spring, coming back to some political positive headlines here between Israel and Hamas. But tell me if I'm wrong here. In your first response to Celeste's question, it sounds like you think this is a bad deal for Israel to exchange these 1,000 prisoners.
It was a bad deal in terms of fighting terrorism, but it was a good deal in terms of bringing Gilad Shalit home. This is the kind of dilemma that Israelis face. As a nation, I think they made clear that the second principle was more important. The political pressure on the government grew dramatically over the last 12 months, particularly over the summer, with the Shalit family managing to generate such strong public outpouring of support that you saw in the cabinet vote yesterday that 26-3 voted in favor of this deal. Now, these cabinet ministers are not profiles in political courage. So it was obvious that they thought that the public would support it, and that made all the difference in the world. Israel, despite now having a larger population, is still a small country, and all of its Jewish citizens, families, have their sons and daughters fighting in the army. It's universal conscription. And so the principle of bringing every soldier home, rescuing every soldier, has trumped the principle of not releasing terrorists with blood on their hands.
So we're speaking with Martin Indyk, former U.S. ambassador to Israel and director of foreign policy at the Brookings Institution. So is it fair to use the word victory? Is this a victory for Hamas, or is that word even applicable here?
Yes, it's a victory for Hamas. I don't think we can skirt around it. They kidnapped an Israeli soldier, held him against all the laws of war for 5 years, and managed to get 1,027 prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, released. They can, and I have no doubt will, say to Abu Mazen, the Palestinian leader, what did you get for negotiating with Israelis over all of these years versus what we got? You didn't get any prisoners released, and we got 1,027.
So this, so Marwan Barghouti, if he's released, then returns home as a hero, right?
The Israeli head of the security services, the Shin Bet, has briefed reporters in Israel saying it is not true. Marwan Barghouti will not be released as part of this deal. So that, if he is released, and maybe it'll come later as part of a secret part of the deal that we don't know about, but I would question that. But if he is released, it will have a dramatic political impact because he is a Fatah leader from the same party as Abu Mazen, the Palestinian leader, and he is very popular. Popular because he went into the terrorism business against Israel. And he could challenge Abu Mazen and perhaps provide leadership for Fatah that would do something to boost their prospects versus Hamas, which will gain from this victory.
Well, for all we know, Martin Indyk, that could have been part of a deal, keeping Barghouti in prison, although we don't know any of those details. Before we go, what does it say that Gilad Shalit was in Gaza under the noses of the Israelis and they couldn't find him, or do you think they actually did know where he was?
I think that if they actually knew where he was, they probably would have tried a raid, although they did this before. I remember under Yitzhak Rabin in I think it was 1985, they found a soldier that had been kidnapped by one of the terrorist organizations that went in and tried to release him, and he was killed. And I think that precedent led them to hesitate. But I suspect they didn't know where he was, and that was part of the frustration. In the end, the head of the Shin Bet said, look, we didn't have a better way of getting him out.
Yeah. Martin Indyk, former U.S. ambassador to Israel, director of foreign policy at the Brookings Institution. Martin, thank you.
Thank you.